Similarly, in old age, when a person becomes invalid and he's unable to execute even material activities, he passes another 20 years wastefully. Srila Prabhupada. Mugdasya balye kaishare kridato yati vimsati jaraya grasta dehasya yajakalpasya vimshati. Without being culturally advanced, they do not know the value. They do not know the value of life. They waste their life. The advanced persons, they try to reduce waste of time. We've already discussed that the Goswamis, they were government ministers. They came to Vrindavan not for begging, but for advancing the spiritual culture of life. Vrindavan is not meant for making a solution of the economic condition. One who has nothing to eat outside, they should come and beg chapati and roti from door to door. Rupa Goswami did it, Madhukari. Rupa Goswami used to beg. Not beg collecting 20 chapatis, only one or two, that's all. Not to collect the chapatis and sell it in the market and get some money and purchase bidi. This is not Rupa Goswami. And just to have a loincloth imitating Rupa Goswami and having so many illicit connections, this is spoiling. Rupa Goswami came on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to rejuvenate, re-excavate this land of Vrindavan. And they were engaged in the service of Lord Chaitanya for preaching work. Whatever we're preaching now, it is based on the principles laid down by the Goswamis. The practice of Vidhi Bhakti, he said, is very important. First there is Vidhi Bhakti, then Raga Bhakti, then Prema Bhakti. At the beginning stage, we have not awakened our natural love for Krishna, and we should be careful not to act whimsically. By birth, he reminded us, we are at a disadvantage, but not disqualified. Srila Prabhupada continued, so in the beginning, neophyte stage, not that because we have come to Vrindavan, immediately we have become advanced, no. Vidhi Bhakti must be followed, regulative principle, by the injunction of the Shastra and by the order of the spiritual master. This is Pancharatrik. In this age, Pancharatriki Vidhi, not Vaidik. Vaidik is very, very strict. Vaidik is different from, I think, from Vidhi. Unless one is born by a Brahmin father, he's not given the advantage of becoming a Brahmin. That is Vaidik Vidhi. But Pancharatriki Vidhi means that although he is not born of a Brahmin family, if he's got a little tendency to become a Brahmin, one who is inquisitive to understand Brahman, he should be given chance. Just like there's a little fire, fan it, fanning, 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 and it becomes a big fire. So our process is that. Anyone, we pick up anyone. Kirata, Unandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha. What to speak of the Sudra? Striya Sudras, Tataya Vaishya. In the ordinary way, the Stri, woman, Sudra, the fourth grade man, and Vaishya, they're taken together, not very intelligent. But Pancharatriki Vidhi offers facility even to persons who are lower than these Striya, Sudra, Vaishya. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha, Abhira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya. And less than that, Yen Ye Chapapa Yadapashrayashraya. If these persons take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, then Shudyanti. They become purified by following the injunction of the spiritual master. He knows how to deal with them, how to elevate them to the brahminical position. Shastra says, Bhagavat says, yes, by such expert management, these Kirata Hunandra, lower than the Sudras, Shudyanti, Shudyanti. Now, just like people protest, because we're giving the position of a Brahmin to the Malechas, Yavana. Yavana Kshadaya. Kshadaya means Mongolians, the Chinese, Japanese, and the Philippines, the Manipuris, Assamese. They're considered as Kshadaya. So there is no distinction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given open declaration. Krishna bhajaneti nahi jati kuladi vachar. Anyone who is desirous of becoming Krishna conscious, it is open. Anyone can come. So how should yanti? Should yanti means they become purified. The general process is that unless one is born in Brahman family, he's not Shudyanti. He is impure by birth. That is fact. But the devotee can change. This is new birth, undoubtedly. Just like these, our European, American students, they are new birth. They have given up their old birth practices. So birth is changed. Punarjanma. That is possible only by Krishna consciousness. The body is changed. But we see that the same body, but it is not the same body. It is Chinmaya. The same example. Chinmaya means completely spiritual. The same example that the iron rod put into the fire. It becomes red hot. So it is no longer iron. It is fire. Similarly, if we constantly keep ourselves in touch with Krishna consciousness, then the body is no longer material. It is spiritual. Therefore, a spiritual body is not burned. They are kept, samadhi. Just like in Western countries, they give samadhi to everyone, tomb, entombing. That's the Western process. Bury the body. In India, the tomb is offered to a very advanced spiritual person. You'll find many tombs in Vrindavan because their body is spiritual. So let us follow. We have come to Vrindavan. Let us follow the Goswamis. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti. We should be very, very anxious to follow the principles laid down by the six Goswamis. Srila Prabhupada has a tremendous sense of urgency which he instills in the hearts of his followers with constant repetition. The mode of ignorance has made us so dull that he has to constantly urge and cajole and persuade. His words draw out our intelligence like latent fire within wood. It is hard work, fanning, but the flames are coming. Srila Prabhupada continued, don't be illusioned. Even bullying in childhood, at any moment the life can be finished. There's no guarantee, because a child is a child. Oh, he has got 100 years age, so let him play now. This is the duty of the father and mother. Namochayed ya samupetam ritual. One should not become father. One should not become mother if he is not very careful to save the child from imminent death. The imminent death does not mean motor accident. Imminent death means we are in the cycle of birth and death. Na mochayadya samupeta mrityum. Mrityum. You are dying every moment. It is the life of mrityum. A child has grown up, 5 years old. Suppose he'll live 100 years. So that means he's already died 5 years. Therefore, it is mrityu. Suppose I live 100 years. Still, I've already died 80 years. Therefore, it is mrityu. The whole life is mrityu. Every moment you are dying. From the very birth, we are thinking, we are living and growing, young, we are getting strength. But he does not know that he is dying. Therefore it is explained, Mugdhasya, illusioned. He is taking death as life, Mugdhasya. So one should not be so bewildered, Mugdhasya, and waste time by playing. Similarly, Jaraya Grasta Dehasya, Akalpasya. This is also very important. Generally, the old man does not know what is going to happen. He is in the hands of the nature. I met some very important old man in London, Lord Brockway. What you will do? What is the end of your life? No, I shall die peacefully. That's all. He does not know what is going to happen. They do not believe in the next life. They think this this life is finished. Everything is finished. But that is not the fact. They cannot find out the soul. But that requires expert knowledge. Just like gold mine. Apparently it appears that it is a stone. But one who is expert, soil expert, he can understand, here is gold. To find out the soul within this body, it is not the business of rascals and fools. One must be very expert, exactly like the soil expert, by analysis. This is called nati-nati, na-iti. It is very easy. If you think, study your body, take this finger, so you'll say, my finger. Nobody will say, I finger. Just like we sometimes examine little child. What is this? Finger. So a finger. Which finger? My finger. Head. My head. Leg. My leg. Everything. My, my. And where is I? This is intelligence. So if one is expert in understanding, in analyzing this body, nati-nati, this is blood, this is skin, this is this, this is this, this is urine, this is stool, then whole body we can analyze. Then where is that I? We cannot see. But why you cannot see? As soon as the eye is off, then whose stool, whose skin, whose bone? So in this way, if we analyze, then we can understand that asmin dehe, within this body, the I is there. And what is this I? And what is this I? Again, aham brahmasmi. This is further advancement. One has to study the body. Where is the I? Then what is the relationship of the I? What is the position of the I? What I am? This is intelligence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins from here to teach Sanatana Goswami that this I, you, we, jivera swarupaya, krishnera nityadas. This is the beginning of Chaitanya's teachings. This Krishna das. This is the beginning of Chaitanya's education. This movement starts when one can understand what is I. From that point it starts. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that without understanding, being a full number one, if he simply joins Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing, he understands immediately, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, immediately, and he understands what I am. Devotee is very merciful. Even there is no hope to understand. Still he goes door to door. Please take to Krishna consciousness. Please take to Krishna and you'll be happy. Just like you are trying to spread Krishna consciousness with so much endeavor. It's not that 7% people of the world will take. That is not possible. A rupe brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jeev. Only the fortunate persons will be able to take it. So we should not be disappointed that nobody, majority of people, do not take this. What is the use of it? Let me sit down in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna mantra. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also did it. He never sat down tightly in Vrindavan. He traveled all over India and took so much trouble. So preaching is very important. And you should engage. That will help you. Every one of you should be pure in your activities and try to preach Krishna consciousness as far as possible. If you remain pure, then your preaching will be successful and you'll get encouragement. That is the instruction of all Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Preaching is definitely going on. Rameshwar Das sent a BBT report informing Srila Prabhupada that this month 350,000 Bhagavad Gitas are already printed, and they're planning another hardbound print of 500,000. Srimad Bhagavatam 6th Canto Part 2 is at the printers, and 6.3 is in production. A record number of Back to Godheads will also go out. Rameshwar concluded enthusiastically, Our only desire is to surrender our lives, to help publish and distribute millions of your Divine Grace's wonderful books. Here in L.A., they're selling over 200,000 Back to Godheads this month of December, more than even the entire Radha Damodar party combined. Of course, Radha Damodar is selling more big books than anyone else. Devotees are more enlivened in the USA than I've ever seen for distributing your books. This will be the biggest month ever. Already 1 million BTGs is not enough for this month. Nothing pleases Srila Prabhupada more than to hear how his books are being printed and sold. Srila Prabhupada wrote back, "You keep your enlivened position. I was just talking to Hansa Dutta about the good fortune of America, that Krishna consciousness is there, and if you can cover the whole America with Krishna consciousness, that will be good for the whole world." Included was an ecstatic report written by Uttama Shloka Das, the president of the Chicago Temple, describing the efforts of the devotees in the recent record-breaking Thanksgiving Day book distribution competition. Out of the 5,000 books, books means big books, sold by the three temples, Chicago, assisted by 9 Radha Damodar Brahmacharis, sold over 2,000. The letter was written to Rameshwar Prabhu and sent on. As Srila Prabhupada listened, he was amazed at the incredible effort and risk his disciples are going to, just to distribute his books to an ignorant world. So this is the letter. "We took the challenge seriously. Not that we were puffed up and overconfident of victory, for we knew that nothing could happen. For we knew that anything could happen by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Then the first crew left, 16 men and women. They were distributing by about 6:30 a.m. Later, a small party went out by about 10 a.m. with more books and prasadam. And later on in the day, several others came out. Altogether, there were about 25 devotees at the airport throughout the day. Sripati and I sort of floated about, helping in different ways, like you did. There were the 17 regular distributors plus Tripurari, and a couple of weekend regulars and a few more newcomers. In the first hour and a half, most of the distributors had done 15 to 25 books. So by the time we got out, about 11, they'd already done about 300 or 400 books. The mornings are always good. Things were quiet. Not too many announcements and no breakups or hassles." Announcements means that in the American airports, the administration of the airport would make regular announcements that if you approached by any members of religious organizations trying to sell books, that you should know that this is not authorized by the airport, although by law the devotees were allowed to. But still, so the airport administration couldn't stop them, but they tried to interfere. And no breakups, meaning no people, oftentimes employees in the airport, coming and breaking up the sales of the devotees. "We all met together for lunch at 1 and took a preliminary count, over 750 books. We were close to breaking the world's record halfway through the day. By 1 p.m., Manasutta had already done 100, Pragosh 80, and Tripurari 70. Our hairs began to stand on end. Our hairs began to stand on end a little as we speculated about the potential results. And everyone was back distributing by 1:30. Basically, we distribute 2 terminals. There's a corridor about 25 feet wide that the people funnel through after coming from the fingers, where the things go out to the airplanes. All of the passengers come through there on their way to the baggage claim and also on their way to a flight. We found out from the paper next morning that over 220,000 people came through the airport that day. At about 4, a demon worker of the airlines came up to one devotee and punched him in the face. The men were stunned. Then he went up to another devotee and punched him in the face. The men and karmis began to congregate. The male devotees and the karmis began to congregate. Trivarari came running up to see what was happening. The demon punched him in the face. All of the devotees immediately jumped on the demon and began beating the stool out of him. There was a huge crowd all around, and the devotees were shouting for the police to stop this man. There was blood on his face and on the ground. Pragosha's punch had drawn blood, and there were drops of blood on Pragosha's clothes and drops of perspiration on his face. He was feeling very blissful. Srila Prabhupada's eyes opened wide at the description of the fight. "Acha," he said in surprise, shaking his head in wonder at the risks his men were taking on his and Krishna's behalf. Hansaduta was laughing and shaking his head in amazement also, and he read on. Half the crowd was in our favor and the other half against. The police came in and the demon said that we had given him a book and then taken it back and started a fight. The police arrested the devotees. This is typical of all the incidents. They attack us and we get arrested. Anyway, somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, the devotees were released and were back distributing in 20 minutes. Around 6, I took a preliminary count. I sat in the phone booth and added the score. As I added, my eyebrows began to raise higher and higher. My eyes began to bulge from their sockets. My mouth dropped open. I was speechless. Tears actually began to flow from my eyes. We had done over 1,400 books. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned and took another count to be sure. And sure enough, it was right. I began to shout in ecstasy, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol." All the karmis were looking at me through the phone booth with screwed up faces and bewilderment. When I got back, there had been another incident. A couple of plainclothes cops had tried to set up one of the ladies for an arrest, and she tried to get one of the men to help her. One of the men tried to intervene, and they arrested him and took him downstairs. Another Mataji went down to find the girl who they tried to arrest, and when the cops saw her, they asked, "Where's the other girl?" "I don't know," she said. "Okay, then we'll arrest you instead." "Hey, let me go, I didn't do anything." Two small scuffles broke out with the two devotees and the police. Another devotee came in to stop it, and the police turned on him. And the three of them beat him on the floor in front of many bystanders. One of the policemen's guns fell out during the scuffle, and books were scattered everywhere. The devotees were then taken to jail downtown, the two male devotees. Of course, this knocked at least 100 books off our score. While we listened to this incident and took prasadam, a demon who had found 3 books ripped them up and threw them in our midst. Unaffected, a little tired, but undaunted in their determination, the devotees went back to distribute. Meanwhile, a huge blizzard began, and traffic started jamming both on the roads and in the air. At about 10:30, I got a report from Sripati. Over 1,700 books. We might break 2,000. This is incredible. Who can imagine the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? All but 4 of the men were coming back at 11:30. Manasutra had done 191 books, Pragosha 153, Tripurari 135, and Ranganath 120. The first crew returned in the blizzard by 2 a.m., and 4 others left the airport around 1:30 or 2. Everyone struggled to get up for Mangalati. The 4 latecomers didn't even go to sleep. And after an ecstatic kirtan, I ran around to get the final scores. On Thursday, we fasted from breakfast and chanted and slept till noon arati. And then we had a big arti kirtan, and after, a nice feast. Thank you for inspiring us to compete for the mercy of the spiritual master. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't know what to do. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Uttama Shloka Das. Another page carried the totals for each distributor. Two men did over 400 between them. Manasuta set a new individual world's record with 210 big books. And Pragosh was just behind with 200. Another seven, including two ladies, Sadbuja and Jagadhatri Dasis, broke the 100 mark, and the grand total was 2,042 hardbound books. At the bottom of the list, Uttama Shloka added a note to Rameshwar. My humble suggestion and request is that you read this letter and all of its contents to the assembled devotees of New Dwarka Dham, Los Angeles. Even though it is irregularly composed and full of mistakes and errors, it is still very transcendentally pleasing and will be relished by all. At the top of the letter, Rameshwar had written in large clear capitals, "This is the most ecstatic Sankirtan newsletter of all time. It should be read aloud to all the assembled devotees." Hansaduta finished reading it aloud to Srila Prabhupada, and with a huge smile on his face, clearly pleased and obviously enjoying transcendental ecstasy, Srila Prabhupada dictated his reply. "My dear Uttama Shloka Prabhu, please accept my blessings. I've read your Sankirtan newsletter with great relish. Europe and America are in great danger. This Hare Krishna movement is enveloping them. The Sankirtan devotees are very, very dear to Krishna. Because you're doing the field work of book distribution," so preaching in Sankirtan is very important. And Prabhupada was making the point as we read, how much this is appreciated. Krishna appreciates. Prabhupada saying, the Sankirtan devotees are very, very dear to Krishna. Because you're doing this field work of book distribution, Krishna has immediately recognized them as true servants. Just like during the wartime, a farm boy or ordinary clerk who goes out to fight for his country immediately becomes a hero. So we may also be from various sorts of backgrounds of no particular distinction at all, certainly not in a positive way. Well, we're going out, devotees who go out and try to make some sincere effort to please Krishna in this way by pushing on Krishna's movement, then they're immediately recognized by Krishna. Krishna appreciates it so much. Prabhupada says that the verse Mahatmanas Tumam Parata Daivam Prakritam Ashna, that this applies to these Sankirtan devotees. That this is proof that these devotees, these boys and girls, are not under the material nature. If they were, they wouldn't take so much risk. They're Mahatma, they're real Mahatma. Therefore they're under the protection of the spiritual energy. And they're benefiting so much. One time, at least one devotee, reliable devotee, Dhanavir Prabhu, he told me that Srila Prabhupada told him that if you dedicate your life to distributing my books, then he said that Srila Prabhupada said, then I'll come and I'll take the dust from your lotus feet. So, it's obviously very, very much appreciated. And we benefit. You benefit. Anyone who engages in the Sankirtan movement and tries their best to push forward, even despite risks, like we read, the risks the devotees were taking that day. I don't think we very often come across anything quite that drastic. Of course, I'm sure from time to time you get incidents. But this was quite something. On the same day, two or three incidents and being arrested, then going back out, and really a great drama being performed under the internal energy ultimately. So if one makes that effort, even taking all risks, to push on the Sankirtan movement, then Lord Chaitanya is very pleased. Lord Nityananda is very pleased. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one song, Dalalera Gita, he says, talking about how he, as a preacher, is going out and meeting people and trying to get people involved in Krishna consciousness. So he's talking to one of these people that he's trying to get involved. And the person, his interest is aroused slightly. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling him that you come with me and meet Lord Nityananda. Come and meet Lord Nityananda. And he'll give you the holy name. And then you'll benefit so much. So he says, Tumi Kinbe Krishnana. You'll get the holy name of Krishna from Lord Nityananda. And Dasturi Laibo Ami, and I will get my commission, and Purna Habe Kam, then all of our desires will be fulfilled. So it's not only that the people in general are benefiting, they are benefiting by getting the holy name or getting the books and getting that mercy, which otherwise would be denied them actually. They would simply be forced to rot in material existence and just continue rotting. It's really the most extraordinary situation they've got themselves into in material life. Terribly unfortunate. So by going out, giving them some mercy, they benefit so much. But we also benefit, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that I will get my commission. So we get our commission. Now, we shouldn't start thinking, do I get 10% or 20%? When will I be rich enough to go to the Holy Dharma or whatever it may be? No. Our commission means something very transcendental. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the heart, he reciprocates with the Sankirtan devotees, with his preachers. He reciprocates in so many ways. Your heart becomes more purified, you become more blissful. Actually, you become very advanced. A Sankirtan devotee, one who's dedicated to book distribution and preaching Krishna consciousness, generally, becomes very, very advanced. Don't know if any of you have read your Nectar of Book Distribution books, but there's one very nice it's like a talk or whatever given by Navin Nirada Prabhu. I don't know if you've come across it yet. I forget exactly where it is. But he's saying that when you're out distributing books and you're really trying and in a sincere, humble way, trying to do your best to serve your spiritual master and help the conditioned souls by distributing many, many books, then sometimes, he says, sometimes you just feel so... he was speaking about himself. Sometimes I just feel so ecstatic that tears start coming to my eyes. And I just become stunned that, God, what is this? This is so amazing. But then I realize that I'm becoming distracted. So he says, I immediately wipe away the tears and I just go and approach the first person. So, through Sankirtan, devotees actually become very advanced spiritually. Because this is a reality, this is a great reality in Krishna consciousness. This Sankirtan Yagya is not just there just as some sort of formality to go through, or some sort of duty that you must do, but this is special, some special thing given by the Lord himself. He's particularly invented to give this gift of the Sankirtan Yajna, which is the means for spiritual advancement in this age. All other things, all other spiritual Krishna conscious practices even, if they are separate, if they're independent of the Sankirtan Yajna, then they won't have the potency to do very much, to help one very much. That's why all these people that Prabhupada was referring to, like, who just, they want to just sit down and chant in some holy place, and they end up sleeping a lot, but they think, oh yes, we're making advancement. But if you really examine, you'll see that in so many cases, they're not really making much advancement, because they're not taking part in the Sankirtan Yajna. They're chanting Hare Krishna, which is good. That's sort of like an element in the Sankirtan Yajna. But they're not really absorbing themselves fully in the Sankirtan Yajna. So they're not really becoming purified. So these Sankirtan devotees, you see, particularly these great Sankirtan devotees who have just given their lives to just every day going out and distributing books profusely, somehow they have adjusted their minds and they've really accepted with great conviction that service. So you see, they're extremely advanced spiritually. Not just like they're clever salespeople, good talkers, very heavy or very pushy, and they can just like overwhelm people and get people to surrender to them. No. But actually they're very advanced spiritually. Very advanced. Just like Daruka, Krishna's charioteer, when he was fanning Krishna, then tears would come to his eyes and he wouldn't be able to see. And even it's explained that sometimes Krishna would get up and move away, but because Daruka had so many tears in his eyes, he couldn't see and he'd just stand there fanning. And after a while he'd realize that Krishna's gone and he'd feel very embarrassed. But not really just for that reason, but because he felt it interfered with his service. He strongly chastised himself for his feelings of ecstasy. So it's natural, actually, that in devotional service one feels very blissful and increasingly blissful. That's there. That's natural. That, in one sense, is a proof, a type of a proof, at least, of the validity of Krishna consciousness. That you actually become spiritually blissful. That happiness is not coming from sense gratification. It's actually coming internally from some transcendental type of source. But even these devotees, they don't even care for that. They don't care if they're feeling blissful or disturbed or conditions are good or bad or whatever. But they are so absorbed like that. So this is Dridavrata, Mahatmanastumam Parita. Great souls working, functioning, serving under the protection of that divine energy and making great, great advancement. Of course, it's also true that it's book distribution is not the only part of the Sankirtan Yajna or the preaching movement. There's no doubt about that. But it is the main thrust. So the more we can push it, the better. But another thing also is that we have to follow up on it. Did we distribute invitations, or did the books have the address in them that we were distributing in America? Just the and were we giving out leaflets or something with the address? Or not? Quite a bit of the time.
When we have them, we get the people that print the boards, they give us small amounts at a time.
I see. I was just reading who was. Someone was saying, one of the, I think, GBC members, in one of the conferences they have on Calm, that In America, during this period, in fact, that we've just read about, they distributed so many books, it was just an inundation. But now, say, 10 or more, 15 years later, something like that, the seeds have been sown, but our ability, I mean, it's more like in a long-term sense, the seeds have been sown. But there wasn't, that they were regretting, that there wasn't sufficient effort made to follow up on that, on the books that were distributed. That actually part of our book distribution and our preaching effort now has to also include making arrangements for follow-up, rather than the people take the book and then they just sort of disappear. And, you know, it'll, their, that touch they have of Krishna with Krishna consciousness will bear fruit further later on, but our duty as preachers is to cultivate the plant. The seed is sown, but then, you know, who's going to water the seed? Who's going to protect this, the little plant as it begins to actually grow a bit when they read the book? So that we have to do. Otherwise, you know, they sort of have to water their own seed somehow, or protect their own little creeper somehow. But that's really asking a lot of them. And for that reason, so many of them don't really surface, you know, in a way in which you can see that, oh yes, that person benefited from getting a book. They don't really come to the surface so much. They come, some come. But we, as the representatives of Lord Chaitanya, we have to also follow up on it and cultivate, help cultivate those plants. And then we'll see that, you know, there'll be a dynamic growth, actually. So that's a point which is being appreciated actually all around the world now, I would say, at least in many of the places where they've done so much book distribution. It's being appreciated, the necessity to follow up. Not just that, meaning that it's not only books. Books are the basis, Prabhupada said that himself. Books are definitely the basis. There's no good substitute for the books. But it's not that if a person then, say for example, comes along and says that, you know, I read your book and I want to find out more about such and such subject, then you say, well, we have this other book here which is dealing with that subject. So why don't you take this book? Well, that's nice. They should take all the books. But we also have to start to interact with them to help them to really start to come up. So anyway, we should try and do like that.
What are some practical ways that they do that?
Well, first point is to always, if possible, give the people our address and phone number. That's something. That's better than nothing. So that, of course, you know, being in amongst the English, we have to buy books from the English language BBTs. And Cape Town, there are many English language temples. Cape Town is one of them. But, you know, it's not one of the very big ones. So it's not that it would be very likely to have the address prominently displayed. But, you know, we should look and see in the books if the address is there, prominently displayed. If it's not, then we should try and distribute a leaflet with every book. Or you can even, I don't know which would be more economical, but, you know, another thing that can be done, it's a little more endeavor, but you can get a rubber stamp and stamp books, you know, maybe during class or sometime. I'm sure it wouldn't take that long every day. And those books that don't have addresses. So that's something. At least they can contact us if they want to. And we should make sure our name and address and phone number is in the phone book, like under ISKCON, under International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and under Hare Krishna Movement, under those three, it should be like in bold print, preferably, there. So people who may themselves want to contact us, they can do so. Just like I found out yesterday that Bhakta Derek was living in Zimbabwe, in Marandera. And, you know, Marandera is one small town in Zimbabwe. But it just so happens that Marandera is the only place in Zimbabwe where there are some Hare Krishna devotees. But Bhakta Derek didn't know that. How long were you living in Marandera? About 12 years. So at least for the last, I'm not sure how many, but something like 3, 4, 5 years, Ashok, Bhakta Ashok has been there, having his regular programs and, you know, trying to get people to become devotees, but neither of them knew that they existed, really. So beyond just giving people the opportunity to contact us if they want to, then what's a very, very good system, it works extremely well, is that you ask people to give you their address and phone number. They do that in a number of places. The devotees in Durban were doing it at one point, a couple of years ago actually, and it was very successful. It was extremely successful, remarkably. Then, so you get the name and address, then you phone the people up and invite them to come. And even there, they would have one special night every week. It was the new people's night. And they would specifically invite people to that night. And then at least those devotees who are into that program, they would contact their own people who they had met. So then on that night, they would greet their own people and look after the people who they had brought in. And it was very successful. It was really very, very nice. It means an extra effort. Some people, I don't know quite what percentage, but some percentage won't want to give their name and address. His name is Vishwambhaya Das, he was Bhakta Brian. He was doing that in Durban for a while. Just while means about a week. And he got many names. Many names. And many names of many people who'd already got books and who liked the books through making that little effort, making it clear to them. Because they realize that now this person is sort of like trying to involve me a little bit. So those who refuse to give their name, they're feeling that, no, well, I don't really want to get involved. But those who are prepared to give their name, they know, unless they're very, you know, like excessively innocent, they'll know that this person is, you know, he's thinking of involving me a bit. So if they agree, it means that more or less they're agreeing, okay, maybe I'll look into this a little bit. So, you know, you have to make that effort and then phone them up, which costs a few rands. You know, the phone bill will increase. Oops, sorry to say that. But, anyway, you know, as they say, there's a price you have to pay for everything, and in this case, it actually means a price, because you have to follow them up. But I'm sure if you do, then I'm positive there'll be big results once the momentum builds up a little bit and the devotees get used to it. Another thing that you can do, which devotees do in some countries, is that from time to time they place fairly prominent advertisements in the big newspapers. Yeah, and you'd be surprised. When I was in Lithuania, very obscure little country, we decided on the spur of the moment to do a program, to rent a hall and do a program. We put one ad in the paper and about 200 or 300 people came. It was very nice. I remember actually in the past when, in Johannesburg, when senior devotees would come, occasionally we advertised in the Star, and like for the Sunday program, and rather than say 70 or 80 people coming, which was normal, we get 150 or so. And of course if you have like a little boutique as you have, that you can put a lot more things in it obviously, then, you know, if you have nice things available, then the more people you'll get, they'll, you know, in so many cases when people come to visit a place, they want to buy something to sort of remind them, or, you know, something, if you've got something which is special, then they buy things, and so you can recover whatever costs may be involved. But it's true, you see, when people start to get involved, you have to be able to take them from that beginning level up. Otherwise they stay sort of on the level of being like an audience for your Sunday program or Wednesday program. We were finding that even in Durban to some extent. So now, Shrutakirti Prabhu being very, you know, intelligent devotee, he's thought up ways of engaging these people more, to get them more and more involved. And it's working. They're getting more involved in the movement. One other thing is, you've got the guest book here. Well, you can contact the people who put their names in the guest book. Maybe you're doing that already, I don't know. Follow up on that. Have programs in people's houses, get them to invite their friends, like that. You know, these are the popular ways of getting people involved. Any questions or comments? I guess you should all go and thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.